birds before that starts. So welcome, Gary Locklear, our lay missioner.
Well, thank you all for having me today. I was here 3 years ago, 4 years ago. This is my third or fourth time being with you. And it's always a joy when I come through the swamp. Now, I'm a little taller than most of you, but when I come through the swamp, I can see the point of the steeple here. And I said, I know where it is now. It's always a joy to come to this church and to walk in here, a beautiful place. So thank you so much. And then thank you for your support of me as a missionary in the United Methodist Church. There are about 300 missionaries scattered around the world, and there are several categories of missionaries, and I don't know that you've ever heard this before, but there is something called a U.S. 2 missionary, and that category is being done away with right now, but it's transitioning to something else. U.S. 2s are college students who take a couple years off and go do mission and do some discernment as to whether that's what they want to do with their life, but it's a two-year commitment. And then there are church and community workers, and that's what I am, a church and community worker. And the role of these missionaries is to connect churches to communities, and that's some of what you're doing and some of your priorities here at Plank Chapel. And then there's another category, and that's a standard support missionary, and that's the one that the world is most familiar with. Standard supports are the missionaries that are sent around the world to do mission work. So they're all over the place, about 275 of them in different places around the world. And then there's a brand new category through the women's division, and it's called home missioner, and I'm one of those as well. So we're heading into our 10th anniversary. It's a fairly new category of mission. So we will celebrate our 10th anniversary in October this year at Lake Junaluska when we have the convocation of deaconess and home missioners. Now, we've had deaconess for about 150 years, and that's women who were in mission ministry, who were in full-time lay work, but they're missionaries. And they created the male equivalent of that 10 years ago, and that's me. I'm the male equivalent of a deaconess. And there are only 12 of us in the entire United Methodist Church. And three of them are in North Carolina. One is Tom Gates, who is near here. And the other one is Charles Barrow, who's over in Kinston. So those two guys, one of them is with Disaster Response. One of them was with NC State Food Production. And he does tests of new plants and seeds to see if it's something that NC State wants to promote for the market. So he grows all this food, and he can't sell that food. So his ministry is to give that food to the poor through food banks and different shelters. So he does about 85,000 pounds of food a year, and his ministry is to put that on tables for individuals. Now, the deaconess do all kinds of things. So I tell you this so that you'll know where your dollars are going when you send support to me or to Will Bailey or anybody. There's a channel, and it's set up so that every penny, that quarter you mentioned, every penny of that money gets to the source that you send it to. And there's something called an advance, the advance. North Carolina Conference has an advance. An advance is a way of getting money to missionaries. And I'm one of the advances of the North Carolina Conference. So you can designate money to be sent to my support through the North Carolina Conference. You can designate money to be sent to the project that I work with through the conference. And then there's another advance, and it's called the general advance. And that's for the entire church. And every missionary in the United Methodist Church has a number, and their number is listed on a website with the advance. So because we have this general advance, I am able to raise about 80% of my salary from churches like this. I have a number of churches in North Carolina who contribute, but I have some larger churches that contribute more, and I promote those more. Southern California, for instance, there's six churches in the Huntington Beach and Burbank area that support me in the work that I do. And so I get a lot of money for my salary out of those churches in Southern California. And about every 3 years, I go visit those churches, and that's a good place to visit, and go all the way to California, Southern California, and work an hour a day and just have a good time while I'm there. But they support me. I've also got churches in Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and Georgia, and Virginia. Virginia is the strong base of my mission volunteers. They come and support me in the work that I do. The last 2 weeks I've had Virginia, who left yesterday and went home. The week before was Kentucky. And my connection with Kentucky is this. My church, Sandy Plains, is a rural church. And I don't know if you've heard of the TRC program of Duke Endowment and Duke Divinity. TRC is the Thriving Rural Communities. I just happen to come from a pretty good little church. We've got about as many as you have today at Sandy Plains, but it's a good church. And one of the things that we do, we receive interns each year from Duke Divinity. And these are interns who want to pastor small rural churches like mine and like yours. That's their call to ministry. So this leader from Kentucky who brings a team every year is a person who interned at my church 6 years ago. And he has come back every year and brought teams with him. And it's an interesting program, and it helps prepare serious pastors who want to stay in small churches and help do ministry in our rural communities, not just in North Carolina, but across the country. So John Cowles is one of those persons, and I'll say a little bit more about him as we go along. So there are 13 of the churches in the cooperative ministry that I work with. A cooperative ministry is a group of churches, and you described it when you talked about Vacation Bible School, that you don't do it yourself, you have other churches involved. That's a cooperative of churches. And you decide this is one of what we want to do, and we may not have all the people, all the gifts, all the money necessary, but if we put it together, we can do it together. So that's what these churches are, as a cooperative. And we range in numbers. Prospect Church has 1,000 members. And Hickory Grove Church has 30 members. So we range in tremendous size. So Hickory Grove is now a campus of Prospect. And that's a new theory that we've come up with, and it seems to be working, where you have a church that's not doing so well near a church that's doing really well, and you say, how about you becoming a campus of this bigger church? And that elder, what the bigger church would do the communion, he would do the leadership of meetings and other things for that smaller church. In fact, in most cases, that elder and the superintendent will appoint a layperson to lead that church, but the elder would have sacramental rights at that church. And that's what we're doing with the Hickory Grove Church. Okay. Enough to confuse you so far? Well, one of the things I do with mission projects is an assessment. I know I'm going to have teams that want to come and work with me from all over the place. So I, during the winter time and starts in the fall, people say to me, could you help my aunt? Could you help my grandmother? Could you help this person down the street from me? They really need some help. And I'll go out and take a look and determine whether I can help them and if it's something that I can do. Do you own this house? Do you have a lifetime right to this house? How big is the problem? If I fix this house, is somebody going to run you out of it and move someone else in it and charge more rent? So there are questions that I have to ask. How much money do you make? And I hate to ask that question, but you want to know that what you're doing is legit and you're doing things above board. So I do a number of assessments of different projects each year. This is a home down near the South Carolina border in the Roland area that I worked on this summer. A roof problem where they had done an addition to the house and hired somebody because they were cheap to add the addition, and they didn't do the work right, and the water's running inside the walls of the house. And this happens a lot in the rural communities where these loan sharks, these builders come in and promise to do a job, do 80%, walk away from the person, and leave them with water in their house. This is Danny's house. Danny is a person who lives near me in the community, and his daughter came to me and she said, can you buy me 3 bundles of shingles so I can fix my daddy's roof? Well, there's no roof on that crate, and that's what it is. It's 11 by 12 feet. It's a crate, and that's where Danny was living when I found him. Danny was substance addicted. His wife and family had put him out, and he was living in that. And he said, it doesn't leak. That blue tarp keeps me dry. But that doesn't work. Now, you support Will Bailey, and I found your newsletter here, and I thumbed through it real quick when I came in the door and found that you support Will Bailey from Costa Rica. Last fall, in a cabinet meeting, Will Bailey happened to be in the Methodist building, and he was invited into the meeting to share some of his stuff, he and his wife, Yolanda. And after that time together, Bill Haddock and Steve Taylor and I said, is there any way we could bring Will and a team to the United States to do a mission project? And within 30 minutes, we had figured this thing out, that we can bring Will and a team here to work with me for a week. And they agreed, we can do that. And they came, and this is the project that Will worked on and his team. One of the things that impressed me about Will and his team was that they refused to take the handouts and come work with us. They wanted to raise most of their money themselves, and they did. So somehow in Costa Rica, this group of pastors raised enough money to fly themselves here, and once they got here, we took care of them, and other churches in our conference helped to take care of them while they're here. But their project was to put a roof on Danny's house, and they did that. So that is covered. That's Will Bailey holding the ladder there, someone that you support and someone that's being visited by your church today. Well, that really went well. And New World Outlook magazine learned about what we were doing, and they did a 4-page article on that story with Will and Yolanda Bailey and this partnership with Native Americans in the United States. That's Will on the roof, and I did not know you were supporting Will until I picked up your newsletter there, so this was not planned because you're already doing that. This was part of what I had planned to do with you anyway. So the story of Will's involvement and his team's involvement has gone all over the world, and people have read that story. And I shared part of this story at annual conference this year. It was a wonderful thing to have a Costa Rican group. Okay, this is Chloe's house, and that's not a name I gave it. Chloe is a 2-year-old child that lived in that house. One of my Virginia teams said, we want to help fix this house. When I went there, the water was running in the bathroom. It wasn't dripping. It wasn't trickling. It was running right on the floor. And there was 2 bedrooms closed off with a bathroom between them, completely closed off, not being used at all. And this team come in and said, we can do something about that. They asked her, said, can we eliminate that bathroom altogether? And she said, well, got one down the hall if it worked. And so they fixed that bathroom down the hall, eliminated the bathroom here, made the 2 bedrooms bigger, and built closets for that. And one of the pastors from Virginia named it Chloe's house. He went back to Virginia, and he preached on that house. And he said at the end of his sermon, he offered people an opportunity to give for that project, because I'll have another team from Virginia come in the next week. And people gave $1,900 after he told the story, and they used that to finish Chloe's house and put carpet on the floors. It's done. It's done now. This is the living room that is completed. It's a beautiful house, and it's rickety for sure, but those children have a place to lay now. The next one is Ray's house, and this is a project I did 2 weeks ago. An older person who inherited a 125-year-old house that was about to be abandoned. So the Kentucky team worked on that house. This is a wall. It's sad, but termite infestation and all kind of things. And we were able to get that fixed, and he's going to be moving in. And now let me tell you a story about what happened there. Less than 100 yards from Ray's house was a brick home in the trees. You could only see about 20 feet of the house because everything had overgrown it, and it was terrible. I asked a neighbor, I said, whose house is that? And he kind of dropped his head. He said, that's Uncle Monroe's house. I would have never believed that his uncle would have lived in a place like that, overgrown. But that man's wife has Alzheimer's, really bad, and he spends every minute with her. So for the last 3 years, the place has grown over completely, and you can hardly see it from any angle. The women working with us from Kentucky said, do you think he would allow us to work in his yard some? I said, I will ask him. I went over and asked him, and he was so reluctant. He said, Gary, I really don't want anybody helping me. I'm going to catch up. He said, they can work in an area. He said, but somebody will have to come in the house and sit with my wife for a couple minutes while I go out and show you. And one of the ladies went in and sat with her and came back just shaking her head. She said, she's really sick. But they worked in the yard that day and cleaned up. 8 days later, that woman died. She died. And, you know, I had to write the women who worked in her yard in Kentucky and say, Mary died a couple hours ago. And your act of kindness may have been the last act of kindness that she received. And you should feel good about that. Mary will be buried tomorrow. It's just so sad, you know, but here's a group of ladies who had caught up and they said, we need something else to do. And they worked in Marion Monroe's yard, and she's gone on to glory. But it felt good. Now, that leader of that team said, and I took him to the next slide, is Hickory Grove, I think. He said, I saw Hickory Grove, Gary, and I felt compelled to ask my church if they'd like to give an offering to help build the bathrooms for that church. And they said they would. And he said, the first man to write a check gave us $1,000. So on Friday of this week, the two teams that have been with me last sent $6,700 to help with the project I'm about to show you. This is Hickory Grove Church. It's between McCall and Clio, South Carolina. There's no way to get there from here. It's one of those places. I've heard these stories all my life, and it was probably 15 years ago when I finally found Hickory Grove, and I spend a lot of time there now. Hickory Grove is a rural, very rural community, back out in the cotton fields, next to the woods, next to the railroad track. They don't have a bathroom in that church. They have two bathrooms and a fellowship hall. It's 50 yards, 75 yards out there. And the doors are this wide. Honestly, I have to squeeze through the doors. They're that old. So persons who have to use a walker or a wheelchair, they don't go to church when that happens to them because they can't get to a bathroom. So if they have an event, only people can come that can go in those narrow doors. And it's been my dream to build bathrooms at Hickory Grove. And we begun that process 2 weeks ago. So you can see the material there. And so the material shows up, and it's taken us a long time to get the concrete done. We literally start building the walls before the concrete is poured. So there's a pavilion out there, and we built the walls under the pavilion and hauled them over there on Wednesday last week, stood them up Wednesday and Thursday, and now we're waiting to go ahead and put the joist on these bathrooms. Now, that's a large spot for a bathroom, you would say, and it is. It's very large. The other issue that they have at Hickory Grove is that when they have a funeral, there's no place to view a body. So they take them out under the tree, and that's where bodies are viewed at funerals. It's true. And if it's raining, they have to make some decisions. So our conference has a building contractor. Don't know if you know that, but our board of mission has employed a general contractor, J.P. McGuire, on the picture. And J.P. goes into situations like I've described and helps us to build. And it saves a lot of money. And JP is able to use volunteers from around our conference to come in and help. And that's perfect for me when I've got people from Kentucky and Virginia and Georgia. And I just say, JP, I got these trades coming next week. How can we use them? And we're getting this thing built. We're going to have it built by the fall. And people are giving money, and good things are happening. So that's where we were as of 4 o'clock Friday afternoon. The walls are up. And we saw the trusses on Saturday. So we're ready to move forward. This is Miss Trotty Locklear. This, I just had to show you. This is Miss Trotty Locklear on the cover of Interpreter magazine. And that picture was not taken for that magazine. As a home missioner, we develop promotional materials because we want to bring a lot more persons into lay ministry. And that picture was taken for that program. But Interpreter did an issue on older adults, and they found that picture of me and Miss Trotty, Miss Trotty is 95 years old, and I have been her Sunday school teacher for about 30 years. So they asked permission to use that, and I said, yes, you can use it. And inside there's another picture of Miss Trotty and myself, which is your second picture. So when you support me, these kinds of things happen. I can tell stories. I can visit churches. I can recruit people. People will see that and call me and say, saw your picture. I was in New York City 4 weeks ago. Bishop Paul Leland in Alabama, West Florida called and said, Gary, I just saw your picture on the magazine. I didn't know it was on the magazine when he called me, but he had it. So what the things that you do for me, that quarter we talked about, enables these kinds of things to happen. Many quarters will buy a 2x4, and we can do something with that. So this is Miss Trotty's porch, and the reason I was there was to look at her project. And we replaced, we did some work to her porch and replaced her kitchen window. And my wife tells this story. United Methodist women had been to a meeting in Fayetteville, and they drove by Miss Trotty's house, and Miss Trotty's daughter was in the car. And Wilma said, that's why I like my United Methodist Church, because they do things, they help people. They help Will and Yolanda Bailey do ministry in Costa Rica, and they help Gary Locklear in Robeson County do ministry. So you're doing great things when you support a missionary, and you can choose who you support. One of the things that I like to do with teams, and there's this lull on Wednesday afternoon. They just die. And the heat like we had last week, it'll drain you. So I do a couple of things with them. I can take them to some of the local museums and hear some history of the Lumbees and spend an afternoon in the cool and some cultural events. I can take them canoeing on the river, and oftentimes I do that. Did that last week, and people love that. One of the things that was said to me, I don't think local people appreciate this river as much as we people who come in here, and that's probably true. There are things right under our nose that we may not appreciate because we've grown accustomed to it. And then there are other people who come in and say, wow, we didn't know you had this. But they love the river, and I'm coming to love the river and to know more about that. And it's just a great way to do it. These are the Costa Ricans. That's Will Bailey and his team on the river. So while your folks are in Costa Rica, I'm here telling the Costa Rican story to you on behalf of Will Bailey.
Gary, you did a picture of Monroe's Yard.
That's Monroe's Yard. That's what we were up against. So there's a funeral tomorrow. And my sister is Baptist, and she's a member of the same church Monroe is. Let me tell you, when the Methodists invade your yard, the Baptists learn about it. So, my brother cooked for the family last night. My sister, the Baptist, is there. She said, tell me the truth. I want to know the truth. How did you get to Monroe's house? Did the Methodists intentionally go over there and do this and overrule us Baptists? I said, no. I said, I was working on another house. The women saw it. They said, can we help? I said, Monroe, can we help? He said, yes. That's how it happened. We didn't go over there and infringe on your territory. But she said, someone in the Baptist church, Mallory Baptist, stood up and said, it's a shame that the Methodists have to go to our members' house and help clean up their yards. We can do better than that. So I'm going to have to deal with that with the Baptists, I know. But there was no intention of infringing. But hopefully we jog their consciousness, and they'll go help Monroe. He needs a roof. The backside of his house is just terrible. But I told my sister, I said, tell them to get their hammers, go replace his roof. And you know what? I'll bet they will. And I can work with them. We work with others. Most of the projects I probably do are not United Methodist. They're probably not. And that's not an issue. I work with whoever needs to help. And that's how we United Methodists see our communities. It's not about one or two. It's about all of us together. It's about cooperating and collaborating together. And this is a bunch of students that helped me from the university. It just so happens some of my friends are teachers at the university, and they'll say, when can you use some students? And they'll bring them out to help me at Earl's house. And that's a wonderful thing. So these are the kind of things I wanted to share with you this morning. And to let you know that I'm still busy, still active, and still in mission. And until God says so, I guess I'll continue to do this. And as long as there are churches like Plank Chapel who want to support me and help me, I'll continue to do this. I'm strong and healthy, and I don't intend to stop doing this. God has blessed me with some things that no one else could have given me. And one of the best is friends, is to be able to say in other places, Plank Chapel supports me. And I say, have you ever seen that church? You ought to see Plank Chapel. I've got pictures of your church, too. So I use those with my friends. I want to thank you so much for your kindness and your mission heart and your willingness to look beyond your walls. I hear words here this morning, cooperation, other churches working with us, a song fest. I didn't expect that this morning. Methodists are known for their singing. So thank you so much for your support and helping me. And if you continue to do that, and God is going to continue to bless you, thank you.